Oh, interesting.
It's weird being in a chair, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not weird for me. Like, this is usually what...
Well, you're usually there.
Yeah.
And I'm usually in a steel chair.
A steel chair, yeah. Like a bar chair.
So I'm in... I get the full experience.
Yeah. Now you're, like, official.
How
It's
weird.
Almost like you were always the guest.
How weird is it not having AJ here?
I was going to say, for the intro purposes of, like, talking about something scary, that's the scary part.
The scary part is...
AJ's gone.
AJ's gone.
This is an episode. It's just us.
Like, I'm terrified of just talking to you without AJ as a... Well, because AJ was always a, I don't want to say punching bag.
No,
but AJ was always
mean.
No, but AJ was really good at reflecting our own personal disagreements.
He was almost like a reflector.
He was a, like, what's that? I'm rubber, you're glue. Everything you say bounces off me.
It sticks to AJ.
We lost our glue. Our glue's gone.
We're just a bunch of rubbers.
We need to cook up a couple horses. Bake them down.
Okay. The Redacted Podcast.
Okay, so that's the intro.
We're somewhat smart guys. We can figure it out without AJ.
Somewhat smart
guys. He's still going to have to post it for us, but...
Yeah, well, we're smart enough.
Yeah, we're smart enough. We're not fucking perfect.
Oh, yeah, I can pay my taxes.
Yeah. Well, I can't, but...
Well, you can?
Well, I mean, I have someone do it for me. If someone handed me, it was like, do your taxes.
Oh,
like,
no. I would never, no.
Yeah.
I used to, so I have student loans, right?
Yes.
I have a shitload of student loans, and it's $70,000. And I was unable to pay. I was unable to get a tax return until very recently, because I had to up the ante of my paying back student loans.
Okay.
So it was. I went from paying like $100 a month to paying $180 a month. And last year I didn't get a tax return because student loans are the only thing that the government can like lock you down.
For. Yeah. It's also a thing like if you're doing like if you're taking out a personal loan. You can, while you're setting up the personal loan, which somebody else did, you can tell them everything you want them to pay off, like really, if it's like credit debt.
Right.
You tell them, like, this is what I'm using it for, and you don't do anything. They'll pay the creditors off for you, and they take care of that for your loan, but they won't do student loans.
They won't. Like, they go straight to the IRS, and the IRS ain't nothing to fuck with.
Yeah. Like, once you get your loan, you can use the money for whatever, so if you want to put that towards the student loan, it's fine, but the loaner... cannot automatically take care of your
like
student
when I was growing up, like, I remember, like, going to school when I was growing up, going to college, and graduating, sorry. I just want to get that on there.
Okay.
I have a bachelor's degree.
You graduated.
I have a bachelor's in bullshit economics.
You know when you're filling something out, it's like, pick your highest level of, education.
Yeah.
There's always an option that says like high school graduate, and then it says like some high school.
Some college.
But there's one that I noticed that says some high school.
Some high school.
And I almost want to pick that one.
Just do it. Why not? Okay. What's the worst that can happen?
I mean, I wasn't there a lot.
Yeah. Like, well, I ditched class a lot in high school. There was I had this 7 a.m. history class.
Oh. Actually, that sounds really nice.
That
to me.
I always skipped.
Yeah.
Always skipped. Like, I would
see,
always
I skipped 7 a.m. algebra.
Oh, yeah, that's, yeah, for sure.
Not happening.
I always skipped, and I had this one running joke in algebra class that we were the Dolphins, the Dan Hills Dolphins.
Okay.
So that was our mascot, the Dolphins.
Yeah.
In history class, I was always either not there or sleeping.
Okay.
And there was not a statue, like a, what would you call that?
Like
a vignette. Of a, a bust.
Okay.
A bust, yeah, of a dolphin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And everybody would make
like
fun
a statuette.
Of me. Yeah, a statuette. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody would make fun of me for sleeping in class.
Why?
And when I woke up, I just said, look at the dolphin and leave me alone.
Leave me alone.
Because I'm very tired. And
it's 7 a.m. and no one should have to go to school at 7 a.m.
It was a running joke. And every time I'd wake up, I'd be like, look at the dolphin. And leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah.
And it was a running joke in class. But the more you think about it, like, the more you know, teenagers need sleep.
Yeah.
Teenagers sleep
our attention
a lot.
Span is garbage. Like,
well, it's a scientific fact that yeah. teenagers need to sleep a lot.
Yeah.
And when moms and dads and whoever you know, owns them or sorry, not owns them,
guardians. Yeah.
Whoever looks after them need to understand that teenagers sleep a lot.
A lot, yeah.
And they need sleep.
It's part of the development.
It is.
Yeah. That's what I never understood. Like, when we were in high school, I mean, it still is this way now, you would go from, like, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Mm. And it's like, but isn't the whole, like, thing, like, when you're younger, you hear about, like, the 9 to 5 job.
Right.
You know, why wasn't school 9 to 5? That's what I don't get.
Well, to
why was it 7 to 3?
Well, why would like, your why would your mom or dad have to wake up at 5 in the morning to take you to school?
That's what I'm saying.
And then if they worked a job, be 2 hours late to pick you up. You know what I mean?
Oh, because they...
Like, if they got off at 5...
And we get out at 3.
And we get out at 3.
That's what I'm saying.
So yeah. Why wouldn't it be 9 to 5? A school... Okay. Because
then they can come get us on time.
School does nothing to train you to be an adult.
It doesn't. It doesn't
nothing.
At all. They're over here making kids take Algebra 2 and they should be taking business, math, and accounting.
Right.
Which is what I did.
Well, teach me how to fill out a W-2.
Get
teach
a mortgage.
Me how to do, yeah,
like,
get a mortgage. Yeah.
Shit like that.
Teach me how to cook. Teach me how to clean.
Yeah.
Teach me how to exercise.
Those
which is very important.
Are not classes.
And then teach me how to fill out my fucking W-2.
Yeah. It's none of that. You have to take ROP classes for that
well,
kind of shit.
Okay. Let's perfect world. What classes would you eliminate and what would you add in?
I would eliminate math. Like, in a sense of, like, algebra 2. You don't need it.
Calculus,
you don't need
it. Trig, no trig.
Not in a high school setting.
I would keep certain levels of math in.
Oh, of course. Like,
but
I
not...
think... But it should be, like, there should be different... I think the level should be different. It should be business math, accounting, statistics.
That's also math. But stat
yeah.
in high school is not stat in real world.
No, but it should be real world stat. That's
real
what I'm
world stat, yeah.
Those
yeah,
should
yeah,
be the
yeah.
levels that you do.
Right,
like,
okay.
Not geometry. Algebra 2. Like, all you like
okay.
literally, I knew kids in high school that are going all the way to, like, double calculus. I'm like, why?
Why?
You're in high school.
Are like, you going to do math your whole life?
Yeah. Go do that when you're in college. You can
right.
choose to do that. I don't want to do that.
Are you going
to
be the next fucking, like, you know,
whatever. Like,
who's that guy that draws really good lines?
Huh? Bob Ross?
I'm fucked. He doesn't just draw lines.
He draws whatever the fuck he wants.
I don't know. But
okay.
there's this mathematician. Very,
yeah.
Very good, and he draws a very accurate circle.
Like almost
a
perfect circle hand.
Diagonal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just like, yeah, I would say, like, they need to restructure the math system.
Okay, so math's out.
Math's, as we know it, out.
Math, higher math is out.
Higher math is out
okay,
in high school.
Okay, what else is out? What else is out?
Hmm.
Yeah, tough, right?
I don't think they need to go out. I think they need to be restructured. Like history's fine with me. Like, I think people need to know their history.
For sure.
Yes.
For sure. That's one of the biggest things that I have a problem with when thinking about, like, how to restructure school.
Yes.
Is history, I think, is so goddamn important.
It's so important.
Because, you know, history.
So important.
History repeats itself. History is poetry.
It's everything.
Like, it's everything.
It's everything. Like, we can literally fix our future by just looking
right.
at the past.
So, is English out?
Not entirely, no.
English could be out because... Here's why I think English could be out. And I don't think it 100%. But... Language is spoken, not read.
Yes.
Where your language might be different than somebody else's language,
That's, I'm with you, because I don't think the way that they have English now is what it should be. It should be more on living
yeah.
speech, like proper writing,
right.
like the proper way to do things. Not, oh, I showed up for English last night and I read fucking 1984.
Mm.
That's not English. That's just reading
it
a book.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Book
like,
reports are cool. They
but,
have to do a book report.
But books are speech, and, like, speech is different for everybody.
Exactly. So I
especially
think,
in, like, you know, Southern California, where we have, you know, Spanish-speaking people.
Yeah.
We have, you know, English-speaking people. We have a bunch of different speaking people.
I think that
speech is semantics. Speech is...
subjective.
A personal
almost.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, subjective.
Yeah.
Like, speech is your personal... point of view, where if I can get the gist,
yeah.
I'm good.
That's what I think English, quote-unquote,
mm-hmm.
in school should be more like speech and speech etiquette and like,
speech
and the science behind the language, not... Because
right.
all English is in high school is just you're reading a story.
Well, I don't need to know the names of the punctuation I'm pronouncing.
Yeah, that's...
I don't need to know what a conjugate... Like,
yeah.
a conjugation...
There, maybe there could be a topic on grammar. That's fine.
A grammar.
Yeah.
Let's just say
but
hey,
like,
there's a half... Well, why aren't schools teaching bilingual programs?
That's what I'm saying. Like, the electives are different languages. No, right. The class, like, English, if you want to keep calling that, should be talking about languages.
Yeah,
either, there we go. Yeah, should talk about different hot languages.
Dog. And hot soup. There we go.
Yeah.
Talk about who's talking to you.
Yeah. The only thing I can remember from English class in high school are the different stories they made us read.
God. Well, that should be a personal thing. Like, yeah. If I'm going to read a book, I'll read a book.
Yeah. Have me do a book report. That's fine. Make my final book report. That's, yeah. Whatever.
There you go. Well, a bilingual
And don't get me wrong. There are important readings in there. Like one of the ones we did read, which I think was very... Oh, fuck. What was it called?
It must have not been that
important. No, it was because I wrote a paper on it. I was the only one to get an A.
Oh, okay.
The only one? I wrote it in pencil. she gave me an A, but then made me rewrite it.
In pen?
Yeah.
She was like, this is great, but yeah. At the same time, grow up.
Yeah. I was also not at school for like the 4 days they talked about it. I showed up with a paper, and she was like, you nailed it. I was like
you showed up with bruises, all sweaty, like, here's my paper. I finally made it work.
It was, what was it? It was an old English writer. He wrote a letter to Parliament, I think, that was about, like, the reuse of, like...
I'm lost, bud. I'm
like
lost.
Like, special ed people and the downtrodden as, like, labor. It was called The Great Expectation or something like that? Or
Well, Great Expectations that's is a different thing. That's a different one. Yeah, that's,
I'll get back to you.
Killing Baby Bunnies. That's the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Jules Verne? No. Are we talking Jules Verne? No. Like, 2,000 Leagues?
All right. Should we get into it?
Yeah, let's, you want me to pause it and we'll...
No.
It's just me and you, buddy.
All right.
You haven't opened your beer yet.
But I haven't.
And we haven't lit every candle either.
Yeah, you light the Nino.
I light Baby Nino. Oh, I hate when you do that.
Because
you don't open things like...
What?
It's too sexy. Just don't do... like, it needs to be...
But you gotta, like, enjoy the sweet release of a Budweiser.
No, it's too sexy. You can't do that.
There's a Budweiser plug.
A Budweiser plug? A Budweiser plug.
A Bud plug.
A Bud plug. Ow. They're too far down.
That's why I didn't want to do it.
They're too far down.
I need to get a long lighter.
Yeah, well, you need, like, the long matches.
Or the long lighter.
Fuck, Cody.
Matches are disposable.
This hurts my fingers.
Well, don't do it. It's fine.
Well, no. Well, I'm into it now.
Okay. And you get a piece of pasta.
Oh, pasta does work.
Yeah.
Wait, no. Let's see if I can get this one.
I got some.
And then next time,
I got some spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
Okay.
Cody.
So, this is a big one. I don't know if I'm gonna try to do it justice. My notes are a little all over the place, so
justice.
I might jump.
Yeah, justice.
Justice. So we're gonna talk about the disappearance of Johnny. I think it's Gosch. They kept saying Gosch.
Okay, we'll spell it out.
G-O-S-C-H.
Gosch.
Okay. So it's
gotta be Gosch. Gosch is...
I read one word had a U in it. I mean, that's why I thought it was Gosch.
Well, Gosch is a term for being flagrant.
Yeah.
You know, that's Gosch.
Flagrant.
Like an outfit is Gosch.
I shouldn't say that. It's a terrible story.
Like, if somebody is...
yeah. No, I know what I mean.
You know, you're flamboyant for no reason. That's Gosch. Yeah, yeah.
So this is the disappearance of Johnny Gosch. Which ties into this gigantic government sex trafficking ring.
Jesus.
Which is just, I thought it was one thing. Like, I was like, okay, sex trafficking, whatever. And as I started, like, reading about it and listening to other podcasts that have covered it, it's just a lot. Like, a lot.
Am I going to get mad?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Probably. Because it's a lot of pedophilia.
Yeah, I'm going to get mad at. Yeah.
Okay, and there's... Right. Certain things I was going to include in here, which I, some other sources that I researched, or used for the research did, and I thought it was a little bit much, like, mm-hmm. where they actually, like, inserted, audio clips of the interviews with the victims,
mm-hmm.
and they would describe, like, what was done to them, and it was, like, graphic.
My brows are very furrowed right now. My brows have never been more furrowed.
So, when I get into it, like, you can kind of just assume, like, what would be done to these kids.
Let me just, let's get it out there.
Yeah, so, we'll talk about Johnny Gosch.
Okay.
So, this is September 5th, 1982. Johnny Gosch was a 12-year-old boy in Des Moines, Iowa, with a, he had a paper route. So, him and a bunch of other kids in the area, they divided this paper route.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from this morning, every single morning, this was between 6 a.m. and 7 a.m., Johnny would usually wake up his dad, and his dad would go do it with him. But this one morning in particular, he did, for some reason, he just went out and did it on his own. For whatever reason. Mm-hmm. They don't know. So he's out there between 6 and 7 with these other boys while they're because they would collaborate which ways they were going to go. They split the whole paper out because I guess it was a big neighborhood. They were approached by a man in a car, like a black car, and the guy was asking them questions. Just random questions. And Johnny and some of the other boys felt like it was kind of weird. They're like, something's wrong with this guy. Like, he seems crazy. And so Johnny left. Johnny, like, put his papers in his wagon. He had a little wagon. Man. Yeah. Good boy. Kid.
Yeah, get the fuck out of there.
And he took off. He's like, I'm going to go do my route.
Yeah.
So this is all account from the neighbors, what they saw.
So, can I interject?
Yeah.
Is, like, you're speaking for Johnny.
Speaking for Johnny from neighbors' accounts.
Accounts, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And some of the other boys were there when Johnny was like, this guy's weird. Like, we need to leave.
And they were like, yeah, we were feeling what Johnny's feeling.
Because none of the other boys... All the other boys came out of this okay. So, like...
Okay. But Johnny did.
Johnny was the only one that went missing.
Well, come on.
So, Johnny continues down the road, down the street with his paper route. So, the car had a... You know the, like, side lights that cop cars have?
Yeah,
the,
for sure.
The big old lamp.
Search lights.
Yeah. So,
search light.
One of their neighbors, Mike... I don't remember his last name. Mike, he remembers the car being parked... You okay?
It went down the wrong pipe.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. He was like, fucking Mike.
Oh, my God. I just put a fucking wrench in that gear.
Yeah, we'll fix it in place.
Sorry about it.
So Mike tells the authorities later after all this time, he remembers there was the black car. It was parked the wrong way on the sidewalk. Like, it, you know, when you park, like... Facing the wrong direction.
Okay. Yeah. Say on the right side of the street.
Yeah.
It was parked the backwards.
Yes.
So every car is facing north. And
he's facing south.
Yeah.
Basically, in the direction Johnny was going.
Shit.
Yeah. Right. So that's how it was the whole time. Johnny got a few yards down, maybe like a block, and he remembers seeing the searchlight on the car flash three times. Right after that, a man comes out from between two of the houses, maybe about, like, a few yards behind Johnny, and just continues to follow him.
On foot?
On foot.
Okay.
Because Johnny's just walking with a wagon. All
right.
Enough distance over, Johnny would have no idea.
Right.
Shortly after that, a black van pulls up in front of Johnny, and the man following them with the people in the van grab Johnny, put him in the van, or get him into the van.
Well, fuck.
And Johnny's never seen again.
Abduction.
Like, abduction. Literally abduction. Just abduction. So Johnny's gone.
Well, what's Johnny up to? Like, what's he hiding? Like, why would somebody want to abduct him?
He's 12 years old. Like,
but is it like what for what purposes?
Well,
like, is it pedophilia or is it?
Well, that's what we're gonna.
Or is it ransom?
No, it's 100% sex.
God, damn it.
There's no ransoming here.
Fuck off! Come on, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do.
Well, we're already in it.
All right.
Okay. This is a big one. So,
I'm so upset right now.
So, a few hours go by before the first cop car, the first officer gets to Johnny's parents' house to talk to him. Like, literally, I think it's like, this was between 6 and 7 a.m.
So, the parents called. They call the cops. Where's Johnny?
Nothing happens for
Please
a while.
Show up.
The police show up hours later.
Okay.
Probably around, like, 11. Interview them. They get everything compiled. They don't hear anything from another police officer until 3 in the afternoon. All the while, his parents are just sitting there like, what the fuck, where's my kid?
Like, yeah, where's Johnny?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, the police department is doing nothing for them during this entire time. So, the investigation, I should, quote unquote, investigation. There's no investigation.
What? Keep going.
Oh, okay. And his parents, John Sr. and Noreen, are left to just take this into their own hands. To try to find their fucking kid. Because
right.
The cops aren't doing anything.
Yeah.
And so, to sum it up, Noreen, the mother, she put together her own search parties. She put together all this stuff. The police department completely unhelpful. Even to the point where, at one point, a police chief, who was later fired, he was
good.
Noted
good.
Being belligerently drunk,
yeah.
Standing on a park bench, yelling at the search parties to go home. Johnny just ran away.
So he was... Like an invalid, like he was.
Yeah.
He was trying to fuck up the whole program.
Exactly.
And like instead of being a cop, he was being a hindrance.
Exactly. Yeah.
Fuck that guy. What's his name?
I didn't write it down.
Okay. We're going to... I didn't... Literally, like, I'm so hot.
Right I know.
Now. I'm so hot kind of right now.
Why I didn't write it down.
I need to find that guy's name. Okay. So I could piss on his grave. Is he dead?
No, he's not dead. But he definitely got fired.
No, but if he's not dead, I'm going to knock on his door.
Okay.
And piss on his feet. Okay. Because he needs to be dead.
Yeah.
It was awful. People not doing their jobs is so upsetting to me.
Yeah.
Like, I hate my job. But I do it.
Yeah.
I do 100%. My job. That's, like, I... And for somebody to be in a position of power and not do their job makes me so fucking upset.
Yeah. So, on that same point of people not doing their job, also, so Noreen was hiring private investigators at this point to find out what the fuck is going on. And some of the investigators were also arrested by the police for investigating, to the point where Noreen had to go up to the police department and was like, you guys are not investigating my child's missing case.
Right.
These men are being paid to investigate. They're allowed to do this in the state of Iowa. So either get involved or back off.
Hmm.
And the entire department was like, okay, it's fine. Do whatever you want.
Like, she had to push them?
Yeah. She had to literally tell the police department to back off my investigators. They're within their rights. Like, you can't arrest them.
This is like a Three Billboards kind of situation?
Kind of, yeah. Nothing's being done. So, it's really insane. So, before we get into, like, all the details, the efforts that Noreen, gosh, put into all this resulted in a lot of really good things. Because, like, you were talking about, like, this case, like, this was in 1982. Nothing really even started to happen until 1989. Results of this case.
Jesus.
Seven years. And the feds, police did nothing. Noreen did everything. So her efforts resulted in the changes of a lot of laws. One actually being called the Johnny Gosch Bill, which was passed in Iowa and seven surrounding states, which required law enforcement to respond immediately to any missing child report. Any call that came in, they had to be there immediately.
Is this what, what's the, Amber Alert? Is this what?
Kind of, yeah, it probably led into that.
Because the
Johnny Gosch Bill is just, it was in the surrounding states, but the Amber Alert is nationwide.
Yeah, but so, this is probably what sparked the Amber Alert.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
She also appealed to the, blah, 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 the, hold on, I said my notes were a little all over the place. She later testified in front of the U.S. Department of Justice, which her case, she won. The Department of Justice provided $10 million to establish the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children. So, a lot of really good things, like, came.
That's a huge buyout.
Buyout.
That's the thing. It sounds like a cover-up. It sounds like we're going to buy out.
There's a lot of cover-ups in this agency. Yes.
But we're not concerned about your kid. We're concerned about all the kids in
the place. They set up the Center for Missing and Exploited Children.
Yeah, that's what it started. That's guilt. That's what guilt looks like.
Yeah.
It looks like we made a mistake, so here, have this.
Yeah. I mean, you can definitely take it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Just want to make sure I didn't miss anything over here.
Just take a beat.
All right, so we're going to fast forward, like I said, to 1989. Nothing's happened.
Okay.
Like, Noreen is out there fucking in the trenches, trying to figure out what the fuck her kid is. Nothing is happening case-wise until 1989.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1989, four people show up, or arise, I should say, not show up like at someone's door, claiming to be victims of the same thing. They are Paul Benassi, Alicia Owens, Troy Bonner, and Danny King.
Okay.
All claiming to be victims of this same kind of abduction, sex trafficking thing. Paul Benassi is kind of the one that takes the lead. With the first-hand accounts and all the information that comes forward. So in 1989, he's 21 years old at the time, saying he was also a victim of this. He's no longer involved anymore because he's too old. They kind of just let him go now that he's too old for this kind of stuff. But he has an attorney named John DeCamp, who Benassi approaches, telling him, like, hey, this is all this stuff that happened to me and other kids, which... I believe he claims to have been involved in the abduction of Johnny Gosch.
Really?
He was in the van that abducted him. They use, because you know, when you're younger, they always tell you don't talk to strangers.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what's the easiest way to get around that? Have the kid talk to a kid.
Oh, fuck.
So.
That's so sinister.
Yeah.
That's so evil.
Yeah. So at the time, Paul would have been about, like, if you go back 9 years, he would have been about 15.
Yeah.
14.
It's like, hey, bud, yeah. You know, we got super soakers in here. We got everything you want.
Coaxed like, him in.
Yeah.
Like, he that was someone, you would have a face that Johnny could have trusted. Like,
oh, god damn.
And so, also not really.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Like, she never gets picked up.
I know. So, he tells John DeCamp, his attorney, all this stuff. DeCamp believes him. And so they take it to Noreen, Johnny's mother. Paul Benassi is able to give Noreen very detailed accounts of Johnny as a person. More than, like, it was known that Johnny had a birthmark on his chest. Everyone knew that. But there were other scars that he had from, like, childhood injuries that nobody knew. And, like, certain, like Johnny had a stammer and other little, like, tics that...
Speed problems.
And Paul was able to talk about all of those that was not ever released in a report. So Noreen believed him. She's like, you obviously know him. Like, you've been with my son.
God damn it.
Yeah, so...
So scary, dude.
It's super so scary. But all this being said, like, they take the case forward. He does... Him and Alicia Owens, the other girl, do countless hours of interviews depicting the horrible things that were done to them. And the FBI and the police department still don't view them as credible, victims.
Who are the other people aside from Johnny?
Those
are the names he named off? Or?
Yeah, Paul Benassi, Troy Bonner, and Danny King.
Well, they're grown up. Like, are they...
They're grown up, yeah, at this point.
At this point, are they fighting this case?
They're trying
okay,
to
so
get
who's
people
the,
out of it.
Who's the antagonist
so,
now?
Paul Benassi points his finger at one main guy.
Okay.
And that is Lawrence E. King.
Don't like him already.
Larry King. Not
the Is Lawrence the shorthand for Larry?
Larry's the shorthand for Lawrence.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes.
Sorry.
But not the Larry King that everyone knows.
No, like, the, with the TV show and the Young Wives. Like no.
This guy's black.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
just the difference.
Well, all right, that was a hard B, but okay.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
Not that it's like anything against his character.
It doesn't mean anything.
I'll destroy his character. Don't worry.
Well, okay. Well,
but his skin color means nothing.
Let's think of me.
His skin color means nothing
because it doesn't. People need to be chastised for their actions.
Yes.
And no matter their color.
Oh no! Of course.
People need to be chastised equally.
Yes. I was saying his color could just. Distinguish him from the Larry King talk show guy.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
It was weird. It was a weird thing for you to do. But
not really, but...
But if you're a bad person, you need to be chastised as a bad person.
Well, you're just going to love everything I tell you then. So...
I'm going to hate it.
I know.
You know I'm going to hate it. So, I think you did this to spite me.
Yeah, kind of.
A little bit,
I want
right?
to get you
heated. Yeah, but I get hot real easy.
Well, let's talk about Larry.
Ugh.
Okay, all so... Right. At the time, Larry was an up... Once you see this guy's face, I'll show you a picture of him later.
Do you have a picture?
He's a fuckface.
Really? Like a shitlord?
He's just a little fucking piece of shit.
Oh, god
so,
damn it, Cody.
He's a rising star in the Republican Party circles.
I already have a bad heart.
I know.
What are you doing to me? Like, my heart's not good. You know that, right?
You got the comfy chair today.
I used to eat bacon in paper bags.
Yeah, it was delicious.
And my heart's not good. Well, you're not doing me any favors.
Buckle up, baby boy. Larry E. King, he was a very rising star in the Republican Party circles.
Mm-hmm.
He had involvements in the 1984 elections and the 88 elections. This is around Carter, Reagan,
mm-hmm.
Bush Sr.,
yeah,
all that fun
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
And he also, his main thing, like his job outside, was he was the director of a credit union called Franklin Credit Union in Omaha, Nebraska. Which Benassi claims it was the center of it all.
Okay.
The credit union was a front.
Okay.
So
like a laundering scheme.
Yes. Okay. So what they were able to get out of this was the FBI, the IRS, they were able to get them to investigate the credit union. This credit union was supposed to be worth maybe about like $2
million. A lot of money for
a
that
lot of
time.
Money for that
yeah,
time.
Yeah, yeah.
When they went in and investigated, they found secret books that accounted for a missing $40 million from what the bank was supposed to be worth.
What?
Yeah. With all from, like, weird anonymous donors and payers.
Por qué?
Exactly. That's what they're like, well, where the fuck is this $40 million?
Right.
Like, you haven't claimed any of this, and none of these people that you have in these books are like, these are like, aliases. Mm. Like, what is all this?
Where's the money going?
Exactly. Well, to this whole thing. So, they ended up tracking it down to King's personal accounts, which, again, it was still not really accounted for. They found maybe about two of that $40 million in his personal accounts, but there was still $38 to $36 million, just not, like, where is it? So.
Well, obviously a financier for legal purposes.
So the main thoughts of where this money was going was in the selling, buying, trading, and grooming of these young kids, these victims.
God damn it.
So they, the regular things they had, like, it was, they would call it after-hours White House tours, where they would get kids, take them into the White House to do a tour well after any working hours were operating, mm-hmm. showing them, like, these kids would test, like, Benassi test, he's like, these were rooms I didn't even know existed. Like, they're just like, we're not in the main part of the thing. And they were there after hours, like, you know, being viewed by whoever happened to be there. They had King had an entire area, which I think was in Florida, which he called Boys Town, which was basically was just like a camp where they would keep these kids. This is like the kind of stuff where all the money's going
mm-hmm.
to fund these things. One of Noreen, Johnny Gosch's mom, mm-hmm. One of her investigators even found, he led a trail to Texas where he found a secret auction, almost like Taken status, where he found kids being auctioned off to overseas buyers. It was just nuts.
Cody,
so yeah. Bear with me. Come on.
Cody, where's the conspiracy?
This is...
You're just talking about a story of bad people.
The conspiracy is this, did this even happen? The FBI and the feds, everything, have not taken Benassi
enough
seriously.
In the political climate that we're at now, with R. Kelly, with Michael Jackson, with all these bad people being prosecuted for taking advantage of people that are not sound mind and body.
Yeah.
I have no choice but to believe the people that are being taken advantage of.
Yeah.
And it's not fair because I'm upset. Like, everything, the last 10 minutes of you talking is making me very upset.
It's infuriating.
And I don't think that there's any option, but if there's an accusation, persecute that person that had an accusation against them and make the legal system figure it out. Because for somebody to say, I'm young, I'm a child, and I was abused, takes a lot of fucking courage.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I'm so upset.
So much courage.
So much Katie courage that it should be investigated no matter what.
Yeah. And at the time, it wasn't. This is the 80s. They were like,
If I'm a kid that was abused, and I'm claiming that somebody abused me, give me all the credit and prove me wrong.
Yeah.
Because for the love of God, if that happened, they should have the book thrown at them.
So I'll tell you, not that this means anything. Like, to me, I was like, okay, whatever. This is why the FBI wouldn't take them seriously.
Okay.
So as far as Benassi and Alicia Owens go, Alicia Owens was not viewed as a credible witness by the FBI because she was recently arrested for check fraud.
So?
Exactly.
So?
Benassi was currently in jail, which is why he already had an attorney, John DeCamp.
So she doesn't have a fucking opinion anymore?
Yeah. And Benassi was
because she was arrested for a fucking different crime? She doesn't have a fucking voice. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
I'm sorry.
So Benassi was in jail for touching his cousin.
Okay.
They're like, well, you're a sexual deviant yourself.
Yes. Put him away.
Okay, but he was the guy coming before telling them all. He was the case. Like,
but cases beget cases.
Yeah, I know.
Like, so they thought just so what? So if you were abused, you're taught how to abuse.
Exactly. But they just viewed him as a sexual deviant. It's like, fine. No, dude, his life fucking made him this way. Like, he was abducted as a child.
Yeah, but like, that's not, we're not criminalizing him for the way he was taught. the way he was treated, we're criminalizing him for the way he acted.
Yeah.
But and that's fine.
But because of that, they won't believe anything else he's saying.
And that's the, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's the bullshit part. Okay. Is they're like, no, you're not credible. You're also a pedophile. So we're not believing you at all.
Bless you, CJ.
Yeah, bless you. Sorry.
All right. Fine. So, okay.
That's the bullshit part of it. It's like, well, he fucked up. He's a product of his own torture.
Okay. Sorry. I'm sorry.
It's okay. So, that's why the
I'm just allergic to bullshit.
Yeah. That's why the FBI are discrediting those two as credible witnesses.
Okay.
At a certain point during the case, the other two, Troy Bonner and Danny Keene, bless you.
Thanks.
They actually recant their statements out of fear. Because they're being told by their attorneys, man, that nothing's going to happen. You're going to go to jail for perjury. You need to just stop.
Really?
And so they recanted their statements.
Sounds like stronghold.
And actually turned against Alicia. They were supposed to testify against Alicia and Paul Benassi, who later, Paul and Alicia both were actually taken to court for perjury. And
what kind of perjury?
For just lying against government officials.
Did they really?
Well, they... The list that Paul Benassi put together, he put together a list of about 250 individuals that he could ID from these private sex parties, including...
Sex parties? They're sex parties?
Well, yeah, that's what they were collecting these boys for. So, Paul Benassi's
Who were these sex parties?
So, Paul Benassi, he stated that Larry King would host these sex parties at, for example, his main suite at the Trump Tower.
What the fuck, Cody? Yeah.
And
you've been holding on this the whole time?
Yeah. And his other real estate properties, he would have these sex parties with all sorts of officials.
What the fuck?
Benassi himself claims to have seen, at the time, Vice President Bush,
mm-hmm.
President Reagan, and a bunch of other officials, like, in those leading parties.
At these
sex parties, where they would, it would be, at first, a normal affair, like a normal, like, Republican Party gala or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Benassi would say that after most people would leave, some people would leave and then come back when the party, quote unquote, was over, and it would start the next thing where they would take these.
Okay. I know where you're going. So, stop.
Yeah. This is why I didn't want to include the tapes, because it's like horrible to hear what Benassi says was done.
Wow. I believe it, and I hate that I believe it.
Yeah. So, like I said, Troy Bonner and Danny King recanted their statements because mm-hmm. they were threatened with perjury
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And were pressured to testify against the other two, which they ultimately did not. But this is where, like, some of the other, like, cover-up type things come into play. Like, Troy Bonner did not testify against Alicia. He refused to. And briefly after that, his brother died. Mysteriously. I didn't hear why. As a punishment or something. Ultimately,
his brother died in consequence, or his brother died naturally?
His brother died... they said he died with no medical background. Like, he didn't have any issues. That's in
consequence.
Yeah, so... another guy, which is what kind of changed Troy Bonner's mind, there was an investigator named Kerry Cordery.
Cordery? Like Rob Cordery?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of wrote his name scribbled, but
C O R D O R Y
C A R N D O R Y Carndry.
Oh yeah. Carndry. Yeah, yeah.
So he was
They probably pronounce it Condry.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was investigating as well. He was, I think, one of the guys that Noreen had hired originally,
mm-hmm.
And he came across some photos, of like these acts and so and certain figures.
Which is illegal.
So he got in touch with an informant in Chicago to deliver the photos to kind of help the case. I don't remember where he was from, but he had a private plane,
mm-hmm.
which he took him and his son to Chicago to drop off the photos. He didn't want to meet the guy. He just dropped him off where he was supposed to. And then he was going to take his son to the Major League All-Stars game.
Mm-hmm.
He dropped off the photos. Got back on his plane with his son, the plane crashed, and they both died. And the debris indicates that the plane fell apart in midair.
The sabotage.
Yeah. So, and there's like 15 other cases and stuff like this where people start to get close, someone dies. Like, there was another guy, I forget his, I didn't write his name down, but he also had photos and evidence. He was approached and told to forget about whatever he saw and never speak of it again. He said, no, I have evidence. His wife was killed. Like, there was just, like dozen, like, over a dozen cases of something like this.
I'm sorry. This is just...
No, it's fine.
Is there a organization that permits adults to abuse children?
I mean, according to this, yes. According to this,
I think the story, the more that you uncover, it seems like it's almost, how do I put this correctly? Like I'm really upset.
It's a crazy topic. I'm super upset.
Like, it just doesn't make any sense that there's this organization of people that is trying to hide themselves from abusing children.
Yeah.
And that spends all this money to protect themselves at the same time of abusing children that wants to cover it up. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's like, I'm sorry.
Just for their own pleasure.
But the Catholic Church...
Okay.
I'm sorry, but the Catholic Church.
Yes.
And Pell just got fucking reamed for it, which is great.
Who's Pell?
Pell, the Australian minister.
Oh, I don't know his name.
Oh, the Australian, he's an Australian guy, that is the head of the Catholic Church in Australia or whatever, but he's getting a charge right now for abusing kids. Mm. And there's this tower of sick people that continue to blanket the fact that kids are being abused for their own benefit, and it's the weirdest thing to me.
It's anybody
would want to do this.
It's crazy to even try to wrap your head around it. Like to a normal person, this makes no fucking sense.
But the idea of abusing kids is weird alone.
Of course.
But the idea of blanketing the idea of abusing kids is even weirder.
And then when you start to think that, like, it's not just like a room of guys, it's an entire, like, political party.
Yeah, it's a landscape.
It's insane. It's almost like, is this what it is when you get involved in politics?
Is this what they do? Is that what that's like?
Yeah. Is this what Congress and the Senate are?
That's an interesting, sorry.
It's okay, get comfy.
Is that what being in politics is?
Almost what this sounds like.
Is it having a wealth, like a breadth of knowledge, and not being able to amplify any of it?
How can we say?
If I was in the political landscape and I said, hey, what if we did this? And then somebody was like, no, we do it that way. How would I not say, holy shit, they do it this way?
Yeah. Yeah. And then you're just part of it.
Yeah.
That's the fucking crazy
thing. The fuck, Cody?
Yeah, that's the crazy part about this. All I really have left on here are just some little snippet things I thought were, like, really interesting.
Okay, well, you want to wrap them off?
Let's get to it. So we went back earlier, and I was talking to you about how Johnny Gosch got abducted.
Yeah.
You were like, well, why? Like, why did he get abducted?
Yeah, what's his...
I thought this was really interesting. So, in Paul Benassi's, I keep calling him Johnny Benassi. Paul Benassi, in his testimony, he claims that because as he was getting older, they started to use him for part of the abductions. He said that there was a thing that they called catalog boys, where they would, Larry King and the other higher-ups would show these potential buyers, quote-unquote, pictures of kids. Like, hey, do you like this one? Do you like this one? Do you like this one? Basically showing them a catalog.
Oh, fucking gross, dude.
Yeah.
Fucking gross.
And then they would go pick him up. And that, like, and so Johnny Gosch was already targeted.
The model of fucking abduction.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
He was already targeted as an option until someone wanted to buy him, basically.
Cody, I hate you so much.
Okay.
I hate you with every bone in my body, and I want to end it.
He was...
Like, honestly.
He was one of the first kids to be put on a milk carton, which I thought was actually kind of interesting.
Well, that is kind of interesting. Yeah, that is kind of interesting. But, like, so, stop. No,
we're going to get to the end. These ones are...
Stop.
I just have a few little things. So, there was a photographer, another photographer named Rusty Nelson.
What?
Yeah.
Bullshit, that's his name.
Yeah, Rusty Nelson.
No, bullshit. That's a fake name.
No. He was approached by Larry King and Hunter S. Thompson.
What?
I told you he was in here.
No, it doesn't make sense.
I told you he was in here.
Okay, go
so
on.
So he says he was approached by Hunter Thompson and King to basically make a snuff film.
What? A kill film?
A kill film.
Snuff means kill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They wanted him to film them basically killing a kid. He refused. He was like, there's no way I'm doing that.
Wait, who refused?
Rusty Nelson.
Hunter Thompson was all aboard?
Yeah, he was the one approaching him.
Fuck
and
off.
Then the next thing Rusty knows, he later sees them again, and they have a photographer who was willing to do it, who, weirdly enough, they made to look just like Rusty Nelson. So no matter what, Rusty was going to go down for it if something happened.
I don't believe...
Because he refused them.
Okay.
Like, Rusty says this guy had the same exact color
I don't
hair
believe
curly.
You. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's an insane connotation. It doesn't make any sense. And, like we've talked about, I'm a very big Hunter S. Thompson fan.
Yeah. Of his work. Yes.
Well, you know, yeah. Campaign Trail 1972, yeah. Hell's Angels, Fear and Love in Las Vegas.
Well, apparently.
Like, great books.
Stuff films.
God damn it. Now I hate him? Now I have to hate him?
I said you might by the end of it.
Yeah, I do now, so. I do.
But that's whether or not you believe this to be true.
Well, I didn't think he was a good guy. I didn't think he was a naturally good guy.
You didn't think he was a fucking...
But I didn't think he was a hero.
Killer.
But I didn't think he was a kid killer.
Yeah. That's
and now
thing.
I think he's a kid killer, and now he's dead to me.
Yeah.
So, I need to know... Okay.
I have two more things.
You need resources after saying things like that.
What, me?
Yeah.
Well, I got these from, like, other sources. I'm not going to name drop all, but...
Okay. Well, keep going.
Okay. Okay, the Rusty Nelson thing, the old thing that I've said about Paul Benassi.
Rusty Nelson sounds like a sex act.
I know,
I'm just
going
to say that
does,
right now.
All of these,
I gave him the Rusty Nelson.
All of these things, these facts,
yeah.
are in audio interviews of these people.
Okay.
So the whole Hunter Thompson thing is in an interview of Rusty Nelson. Mm-hmm. So he recorded this. He said it on record. Everything that I said about Paul Benassi, he said on record. So those are my sources. Like, I'm getting it from their audio.
Okay.
So the last two things I have that were just kind of weird is one, there was a guy named, he was a colonel in the Air Force, Colonel Aquino. I forgot to write down his first name. I just thought his last name was kind of, like, weird.
That's
kind of
cool.
Colonel Aquino.
Japanese, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Aquino?
Yeah. He was also identified in Benassi's list of being a part of this. And they actually used facilities near different Air Force bases for him to do his thing. It was also kind of known that he was, like, the leader of a satanic cult.
Cool.
Yeah, and one of the cover-up kills that they found, like I was talking about, there was, like, 15 of them, looked very much like a satanic ritual. So they almost think that, like, he was covering up a lot of shit.
Two parts. I'm not done. I can't let you continue saying these things. With reckless abandon.
I'm not saying reckless abandon.
Without me, I need more to this.
I mean, I don't have much more on Colonel Aquino.
I don't care who anybody is at this point. I care if you're telling the truth or not.
I'm telling you what I found.
Yes, but no, you're right. Two parts.
Okay.
I can't do this, Cody.
Okay, I got
this
one more.
This is insane. You're telling me.
I
can't just... Tell me, hey, guess what? Oh, everything you know is a lie. Anyways, here's the next thing. Everything you also know is a lie. Like, you're telling
those
me...
Those lies are lies.
Yeah, those lies are lies. You're saying it so confidently and so surely, and I hate it. Give me either the truth or nothing.
I'm giving you the truth as I read it.
All two parts. Two parts. Read your last shitty... awful thing
okay.
that you want to make me kill myself to tonight.
Okay, I lied. I have two more. So I have...
All right.
One more weird fact and one more...
Okay.
Justice never wins.
Yes, yeah.
So,
everything you know is a lie.
Yes.
Everything you love sucks. Go on.
So during this entire investigation... Oh, actually, I lied. I have three things.
God damn it!
One of them is actually kind of nice, though.
All right.
So,
oh, cool.
Yeah. One thing that was really weird during the entire, like, at this point, we're talking about 14 years of investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Gosch's parents divorced. They couldn't take the strain.
Yeah, probably.
And Noreen later found, this is just a question. Noreen found out at one point when she went to go meet with Paul Benassi's attorney, John DeCamp.
Mm-hmm.
DeCamp approached her as if they'd already met. He was like, "Oh, it's so nice to see you again. We haven't talked in so long."
Oh, interesting.
And Noreen was like, "What are you talking about? I've never met you."
Interesting.
He's like, "No, okay. Like, you guys were here, you and your husband, and we went out to dinner. We talked about the case." Okay. And
they were a little supernatural.
Yeah, she was like, I've never been here. Not with my husband."
Mm.
And so John DeCamp talks to his secretary, and he's like, they were here, right? And he's like, yeah. Or she was like, yeah, they came, that you guys went to dinner, but it wasn't this lady.
Mm.
And they're like, what the fuck? So Noreen found out that for about 6 months, her now ex-husband was traveling basically the country, going to things about this case with another lady, introducing her as Noreen. And they looked very similar, but he was like, he was almost undoing the work she had been doing by going around this other lady saying, "No, everything's fine. Like, you know, we've moved on."
Right.
Blah, 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 blah.
Like, kind of like a patsy.
It's almost like he's involved now with the cover up.
Like, he and this girl were in charge of making her argument
void.
Yeah.
And but he's the father of the missing kid. Like, what do you do to make him do that? That's crazy to me. So, I'm gonna give you a little silver lining.
Hang it up.
No, yeah. Okay. So in 1997, I think it was 97. Yeah, in 97, Noreen claims that she was actually visited by her son. So this is 15 years after his disappearance. She claims that one night at 2 a.m. in the morning, she got a knock on her door, mm-hmm. and it was her son and another unidentified boy.
My boy.
Who was with Johnny, quote unquote, Johnny Gosch.
Yeah.
Noreen claims that they talked for a couple hours. And Johnny told her, like, "This is what happened to me. I was taken. This is what I had to go through. I was aware of everything you guys were doing. I can't stay, though. Like, my life is in danger. Like, I have to keep moving. I'm under a different identity. And, like, I love you." And basically left. She's the only person accounting for
this
visit.
That's, like, your last words.
Yeah.
That's your last will and testament, basically. Yeah. Like, "Hey, I want to get it all out, and I'm gone forever."
Pretty much. And that's the last she's heard of her son at all. No one else knows that this even happened. It was, obviously, it was 2 a.m. at her house. But
Jesus
that, H. To wrap it up really quick,
wrap what up?
All of this.
Wrap
just
what
to leave
up?
A little
like,
bad taste in your mouth.
Up? This all is awful.
Like I said earlier.
You just told me for the last 2 hours that everything is awful and everything sucks.
Yeah.
Like, what am I supposed to do with that information?
So, like I said earlier, Paul Benassi and Alicia Owens were ultimately tried for perjury and convicted. Paul Benassi later was given about $1 million in, like, pain and damages.
Fine. Like, what's a conspiracy?
Larry King was indicted for embezzlement. That's it.
Fine.
Just embezzlement.
No, what's the 15... fucking conspiracy?
Did this, actually
that
happen?
That people are bad?
No.
Yeah, always.
No, but... Did this happen?
Sure.
Don't get
Fine.
Mad at me.
I'm not mad at you. I'm just yelling.
That's
yelling.
The conspiracy.
I'm yelling
though.
In the air.
Okay.
I'm not yelling at you.
So Larry King got 15 years.
Oh my god.
But he was released in 2001.
Can I just say that was like a roller coaster?
Yeah.
I basically just went to Six Flags with that story. Because it was beautiful and you like, can I just touch your notebook?
Yeah.
Where is it? I don't want to feel the warmth.
Okay.
And no. This notebook did so much work, and you did so much work, and I'm really
it's a shitty story,
appreciative
though.
Of how much work you put in, but you basically told me that people are bad.
Yeah.
And they do bad things. And I agree with you. that humans are innately
so
bad.
So this should happen.
Yeah. For sure.
That we're saying in
well,
final thoughts?
I don't know about this. You know,
like, do you think Chewie's is getting at it? Yeah, we're all looking at you.
I think that.
Like, do you think that this kid Johnny was taken from his street?
I don't know.
And held captive.
I don't think there's enough evidence for me to say yes or no, but I think that I think that it's possible.
Yeah.
And I think it's more than likely.
I think it's definitely possible.
I think
it's disgusting to be possible.
Not only that it's possible, I think it's more than likely.
Yeah.
I think
which is horrible
for people
to
have reservations about how evil the human person can be.
Yeah.
Like, don't ever trust somebody that has something to prove.
Yeah.
Like, they're the most evil. Like, honestly, like, we do this, and we have a... Okay, let me put this in a different sense.
Okay.
So we like to share our thoughts.
Yeah.
But we don't have anything to prove.
No. We're just opinionated.
We're opinionated, and we have... We're just trying to make dumb shit or evil shit funny.
Yeah.
Like, that's our point, is to make evil shit not evil. Or silly shit funny.
Exactly.
But somebody that goes out there and says, I want to do something evil for the sake of being evil and for the sake of that notoriety,
yeah,
needs to not exist. And I think that's the case. It's making people with bad intentions purely bad and hating them. Like,
yeah,
we need to hate people with bad intentions.
Of course.
Like, we need to love people with good intentions. We need to hate people with bad intentions.
To me, it's crazy to say is, like, something like this. Let's say there's this fucking ring going on at this high level, at the highest level of
right,
all organization. That, to me, is more evil and more disgusting than anything, like, Ted Bundy ever did.
Well,
or Richard Ramirez ever did.
It
or
takes,
like,
planning.
Yeah.
Well, Richard Ramirez...
Oh, he was a sick fuck.
But...
I'm not saying anything against him.
He planned. I'm not
Ted Bundy planned, too.
Well, but, like... But it's planning to be evil.
Yeah.
Versus...
For years, though. You're planning... You're keeping these kids.
Right.
Like,
right.
Ted Bundy, Richard Ramirez, Gacy... Oh, like, they're...
John Wayne Gacy.
They're, yeah, they do it and they're done. And then they're on to the next one. Hey, so there's planning. But this is like, I'm going to take a kid when he's 12. I'm going to keep him until he's fucking 19. We're just going to do this over and over again. Like, put him in this
I'm
kid.
Done.
Like, it's
I'm
just,
done.
It's crazy.
I can't do
it's
it
crazy.
Anymore. I can't do it anymore. Cody.
Okay.
Fuck you. Forever.
First episode without AJ.
I love you, but fuck you.
All right. I have something fun, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Not like a game or anything, but something to have the listeners look forward to. So I found a list of the top trending search conspiracy theories for every state. And I thought it'd be fun in the future that we try to knock all those off.
We're going
to
do it.
And cover it.
We're going to do it.
We're going to do it.
We're going to do it.
Yeah. So to start it, there's a few we already covered. So if anyone's listening from these states, we've already covered your top one. Go back and listen to it. If you're from Arizona, we got MKUltra. Arkansas, you can go look up the Philadelphia Experiment episode. Iowa, we just did JFK. Minnesota, episode number one is Flat Earth, so there you go.
You're dumb, Minnesota.
Yeah, New Mexico, Lizard People is a really good one.
Did it.
North Carolina, we just covered this one, is anti-vaccines, which...
Oh, killer episode.
Come on, Carolina.
Oh, honestly, I think that was the best episode, because I'm in it the most.
It was a good episode. So, we've already knocked off those states. We're going to continue to get all 50 done.
Mm-hmm.
That would just give a little something, a little connection.
So look out for that.
Yeah.
And as always,
I'm Cody.
I'm CJ. I'm super screwed up with AJ out here.
That's true. It's really off.
He said I'm AJ.
That's true.
And then you
Cody.
And I'm Cody.
So you just inserted blank.
Okay, so let me do it one more time. I'm
Cody.
CJ.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, guys.
Bye.